Mike Houston, please.
Thank you.
Mike Houston.
Mike Houston, this is Tom Muir. Before you say anything, I want you to know that your voice is being recorded. Anything you say might be held against you. I'm testing out my recorder. Mike, would you please say something so the test will work? Hey, Harry Schwartz, will you say something? Yes, Frank. Tom Muir, how are you, sir?
Hi, just fine. I understand you wanted some information on Pop Buell and Dr. Weldon.
That's correct, if you can give me such.
At the moment, I've got only information on Pop Buell.
Beautiful.
I'm expecting Dr. Weldon shortly. So
okay.
If you want me to call you about both, I will, or some other number.
Okay. Well, basically, I wanted to get most of it on Pop Buell. I've got quite a bit on Dr. Weldon.
You do? Well, that's fine.
And primarily, but anything you can give me would be... Sure,
yeah.
Grateful. I would.
Okay, well, you stop me and ask questions, but he's been there 9 years,
mm-hmm.
and he is currently the area coordinator. I see this as for, technically, it's a province in North Laos, and the name of the province is Yen Quang, and I'll spell it for you.
Okay.
That's X-I-E-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
K, that's in second word, K-H-O-U-A-N-G.
Okay.
Province. And it can also be said he manages or administers the Sam Tong, that's S-A-M, capital T-H-O-N-G, Sam Tong refugee operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is a retired farmer from Hamilton, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He came to, went to Laos first as a $60 a month volunteer with IVS, which is the International Voluntary Service.
This was 9 years ago.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
See, he's 57 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's responsible for the feeding and caring for of some 350,000 people.
Holy criminy.
About half of them are Mayo, M, capital M-E-O,
mm-hmm.
tribesmen,
mm-hmm.
who live in the hills and valleys
right.
up there at Sam, in northeast Laos.
Mm-hmm.
This I'm getting from some other information that's put out, an article that appeared. Maybe you have it, maybe you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It states that he has seen the Mayo's numbers dwindle through war, hunger, massacres, and disease by about 100,000 in the time that he's been there.
Okay.
Now, let's see.
Well, the other half, black tie and various other minorities in?
That's right.
Okay.
And some Lao, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Lowland Lao.
Okay.
Now.
How big is his staff there, Frank?
Oh, I think he's got about three or four other Americans helping them, and then quite a few local staff.
Do you have the names of those people? I was up there just last month, and I met Wynn McKee.
Let me get them for you,
okay.
And I'll give you that along with anything we have on Doc Weldon.
Okay.
Okay, names of American staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose their position, or roughly what they're doing.
Yes, basically.
Okay. Now, what else can I give you?
Okay, the size of the school. Now, when I was there, I noticed this fantastic school that Pop had built on the hill.
Yeah.
And
how many?
I'd like to know how many students that are being educated there, and how many he can educate, literally, you know, in a given period.
How many he would educate?
Right. Or, you know, basically just a statistical breakdown.
You mean how many have graduated, or
right? How many have
Pop built it?
Right.
Okay. And total that have passed through there.
Mm-hmm. And how many at any given period? You know, how many students are in that? It looks like thousands could be in there. There's enough buildings
right,
there.
Right. Well, Yeah, how many as of today, mm-hmm. how many there, and then how many total have passed through?
And basically the same thing about the hospital that Dr. Weldon has been working with.
Sam Tong Hospital.
Right. And I believe there's a young Lao doctor there, too. He's supposed to be pretty sharp, and an American doctor there.
Names?
Yeah, if possible. And I realize a lot of this
right.
might be hard to
Lao
get.
Lao and American
mm-hmm.
doctor. Give it to you if we can.
Okay. And how big is Sam Tong? Well, that kind of fluctuates anyway, doesn't it? So.
Oh, it's fairly big. I'll get that for you.
Okay.
You mean as right or clustered around the airport there?
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah, that would vary. But let's see what we can give you.
Okay.
All right.
Very, very good. I sure appreciate it. And
not at all.
I'll expect your call back then.
All right. We may not be able to call you for another hour or so. Will you be at this number?
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay, fine.
Very good.
We'll call you back.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Jay Holman, please. Thank you.
It's just kind of trial and test measure. I generally put it up,
mm-hmm.
and then I can only turn it back down and put it back.
That's Dorothy Ashby and her harp, Love is Blue. Before that, Steve Lawrence. And I've got
okay,
my
you push
eyes
these
on
two down to record.
Right.
We're
going to
look at all the latest news, and we'll be back at 2:30
uh-huh.
for more music.
Newsbeat, the heart of the news from the KXXK News Desk.
What's this little doll in here?
Vice President Agnew.
That's to show you the battery power and also the sound that's going across.
Mm-hmm.
As you start talking, and this is your tape footage right here.
Senators who fear another Vietnam-type involvement. Agnew also says he's very much more optimistic about the present Vietnam situation than he was before he visited the war zone. But he added that nearly every leader who ever returned from Vietnam...
Rama Hilton, where I'm in Bangkok.
Uh-huh. Huh, what are you going to Washington for? Mm-hmm. Oh, huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How much advance do you think you'll need? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, I'll have Lalani type you up a check and then, you can pick it up sometime this afternoon. You going to be around today? Okay, good. Well, she'll call you when it's ready, and then you can come by and pick it up. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Man who underwent his second heart transplant at the University of Michigan Hospital
Bye-bye.
Yesterday has reported suffering from kidney trouble, but he's breathing well without assistance. 44-year-old Gerald Rector had his first transplant last March, but his body began to reject the new heart, and the second transplant was decided. Rector developed the kidney trouble earlier this week, and it was hoped the new heart would be able to overcome it. But a hospital spokesman in Ann Arbor said today that the condition has not corrected itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's getting it in advance, too.
State of the Union message since last Wednesday. The only breather from this work and provisions on the new federal budget was a break for some voting.
I've got to transfer some more funds
Currently in Dallas, humidity
90%
in the southeast at 15 miles per hour.
Oh.
The barometer falling from 29.76. In Fort Worth, 59 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Here in Dallas, cloudy skies.
How do you stop it?
53 degrees.
I regret that we did not accomplish our stated objective of trying to get these packages in. However, I do feel that we made an honest effort. And unfortunately, the North Vietnamese and the Russians would not let us take the packages in. I can assure you that we have not given up, however, that we have brought the packages and gets back to Dallas. And we are now planning a new strategy, hopefully, to be able to accomplish our original goal. New paragraph. Again, I'd like to thank you for your efforts, without which we would not have accomplished as much as we did. Thank you again, sincerely, Ross Perot. That preceding form letter would go to the clerical toads who gave us the general assistance. This next form letter we could apply to the press who traveled with us or did special favors for us when we arrived in a city. Dear Blank, I would like to express my thanks for your assistance and interest in our recent trip to Blank. New paragraph, I was most impressed with the professionalism and dedication you displayed in reporting the news as you saw it.
And he screamed and yelled at me and told me he'd send the FBI out here. Well, that's in November. And then he came the next day, the 26th, and he asked all kinds of questions. We never have heard from him since. And we know Wayne Justice, he wouldn't do anything. The DA here has turned the letter that he wrote out there 2 years ago to the welfare, and they do us anyway, and we sitting here in old shack, it isn't fitting to live in. And they won't fix nothing, and it's been...
Okay, can I just put you on hold just a second here, ma'am? I have another call, it just came in. Just a moment, I'll be with you. Tom Muir.
Betty, Mr. Muir?
Yeah.
Is is Sarah Jane still there?
No, they've all gone home.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Tom Muir. Yes, ma'am.
He came out there, and he taken a lot of notes down, and they never did let us know anything, and even my mail's being destroyed, and they won't do a thing.
What is it?
I'm not more than you are. We were just absolutely railroaded.
Well, what is the problem?
They taking our home away from us and left in Texas, and they ain't nobody to do nothing about it.
Who took your home away?
The laws did, though.
The who did?
The laws did.
The law did?
Yes, sir. And I asked you to talk to Mr. Perot and see if he could get us a law.
No.
He knows how we have been dumped.
Yes, ma'am.
She don't know though how they about us being sent off, because they moved in 63 when this happened.
Yes, ma'am. Well,
do you think Mr. Perot would do something about it? We wouldn't ask him.
Let's say 80% to 20% of the good stuff.
Yeah.
The people would have an impression of professional football that it was nothing but a real dirty, lousy.
Right.
Game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's, you know, showing you what in the percentage of what type of stuff people show and how often do they show the good things.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's a very solid point there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the people of the United States will buy Agnew's thing, because it's so easy to penetrate if you don't get a chance, you know, because
yeah.
It could be so obviously biased.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's factual, but it's hard to sell.
Yeah, it is, you know, and he's lost a lot of credibility in the last year, anyway.
Right.
Well, he sure got a good lick at him, though. I sure was happy to hear it, I'll tell you that much.
One thing that I'm doing that I thought you might be interested in, because I thought it wouldn't hurt at all, I'm producing, you know, the Super Bowl game and halftime and pregame. I'm calling the pregame theme United We Stand.
Huh.
Do you like that?
I love it.
And,
now, when is the Super Bowl?
January 11th.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think we could work anything out around that time? Or would that be too far away, or would it be just too anticlimactical?
Well, that's a little away. However, of course, I feel, too, that this is something that is should be and must be continuous.
Right.
You know, I mean, as far as some type of a program.
Right.
And I don't know. I think that there should still be that something a little earlier. It shouldn't wait too long to give the president an answer.
Right, right. Well, here's our problem. And see, what we're trying to do here, at least the immediate thing, Tommy, is to maximize these cards and letters.
Yeah.
From all over the country.
Now, you are aware that we sent out, and should be, everyone should have them at the latest today, 1,000 30-second spots to every radio, major radio station in the United States. And this is Bob Hope.
Uh-huh.
Now, you might check with any of your local stations to see if they've...
Now, this is on Unity Week, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's turning on the lights and all this kind
right,
of stuff. And
right.
Seeing a letter.
Right. I saw some last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I don't know. It was Unity Week stuff, but what Bob Hope wasn't there, but it said turn on the lights and fly your flag and stuff like this. So a lot of these stations are getting on board, seeming like on their own.
Oh, well, good, because Bob also said to write the letters.
Ah, that's good. To him, right?
Right.
Good, good.
Because,
Well, where are they being sent, those letters? Los Angeles?
Washington, D.C., I think. Bob Hope, Washington, D.C.
I see. Okay. Well, as I told Frank over the phone yesterday, we've got the American Legion out now. We've got the Chamber of Commerce, Junior Chamber of Commerce, and they're starting to get down to the grassroots. We got reports from Indiana yesterday that the milkmen are starting to deliver them and stuff like this.
Great.
And, it just takes time to get down to this grassroots area and get the snowball moving.
That's the trouble. It does take time.
And on this motorcade or traincade, or we really haven't decided yet, we've got contingency plans for all situations. When they go across the country, we want to have, if we don't have at least 70 million pieces of mail, it's going to look like a poor show. So we've got to, give enough time to get enough of this mail, and we're just keeping our count.
Think about the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, we've hit the Boy Scouts, and we've given them a special one, although not as, they don't want to get into politics, and although this isn't political, it's seemingly to line up that way to some degree in certain situations, and the head of the Boy Scouts feels that it's too controversial, so we've toned it down a little bit, the Love America type thing, and send in letters on that. But again, then supporting the president.
Sure.
And we're starting to get good response from these things around the country. But we've got to wait. We don't even want to start that motorcade until we have
a good count. I believe that. I concur.
And Frank last night was saying like the 23rd, and I just don't feel that we're going to have that enough count by the 23rd to really pull this thing off.
I don't either.
It's going to be down the pike farther. But
no, and when we do it, Tom, I'm sure you feel the same way. We must be well prepared and know what the hell we've got and what we're going to do.
Right, right. But Ross wants a big rally at the end of this thing, and he wants to get as many people there as possible. And so he was throwing out places. This is why I called you last week, just to, what seems like some of the best areas in the country to have them. And
I'll throw in one other one.
Uh-huh.
Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there are facilities that I know we could turn out the people.
Yeah.
And another thing, it might at least, to really turn on the people, we might use the good offices of Billy Graham.
Oh, that would be something.
See, there's no one that can turn them out quicker.
Right,
really.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They're so set up in any area in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another place that I think that contact should be made due to the fact of his vast mailing list and the way that he can hit from that headquarters any place and every place.
Yeah.
You might give that a little thought, Tom.
Yeah, I hadn't even really thought about that to any degree. That's a good point. Where is his headquarters?
It's in Minneapolis. Frank has got the address and the phone. They've got a great big place.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, communications-wise, brother, they can turn it on almost any place.
Yeah.
And they've got all these volunteer workers, and I watched them work in Anaheim, and they turned out 39,000, 46,000. These are on successive nights.
Hmm.
52,000.
Good, great.
And, and the largest attendance surpassing the All-Star baseball game. Well, got more people in than could get in. because they put them out in the infield and every place else.
Yeah.
But I've seen them work, and God darn it, they are organized
they really
from that
are.
Point of view as far as turning out people.
Well, that's good. Well, if you had a second choice beside Washington, where would you think would be good spots for, say, a termination of this motorcade and a big rally?
The Rose Bowl, for one, because of the fame of the place, and also being in Southern California.
Right. I like that real well down there.
You know, and you've got plenty of parking, free parking, which is another thing. You also... we can get a helicopter in there if we want to. And I've checked out some of these things, and I think the Rose Bowl would be better than the Coliseum from that point of view, and also, you know, because of the where it's located.
Do we have any problems with the Rose Bowl as far as getting it, to say, in sometime in December?
They have a game December.
Cisco Paper.
And depending on what we would want to do, they're, of course, getting ready for the Rose Bowl, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I think the time, I think that we could get it, especially for something like this. That would be, Miami, I don't know, leaves me a little cold. I don't, for some reason, I can't, you know, get into the feeling of it being held there.
I agree with you. You know, it's you know, just to have in a resort area just doesn't turn me on either, to tell you the truth.
No.
That's, even though Key Biscayne is down there.
And some people kind of resent it a little bit, the flavor around
I think so. And there are people down there to be on vacation and stuff like this. And yeah, I agree with you about Miami. I think, what do you think about Houston? Do you think that the Texas element has got too much displeasure for as far as the Northeast is concerned? It's not neutral enough.
I think you'd be better off in a Kansas City or.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what I was wondering. That was my basic feeling. That's why I tried to explain to Ross the other day that you know, to the Northeast, the Texas element is just not palatable to a lot of people in the Northeast and Midwest.
That's
unfortunately, but it's true.
It is true. Yeah.
And this could have again a certain stigma. You know, the thing that me is really beautiful, probably too cold to be Denver. It's just something beautiful about Denver.
Right.
You know, it's a very political area in the world, country, and everybody speaks highly of Denver, but I don't know of any great places there to have something like this. Do you?
Well, the only place you've got is your stadium. Of course, it'd be out of doors.
Yeah. And that...
You freeze your little footsies, but...
So really, it kind of boils down to either, say, Anaheim or Rose Bowl or Washington.
Yeah, I would think so.
Uh-huh.
Now, what do you want from me now? Anything?
Well, yeah, if you could.
Yeah.
Sometime at your convenience, either on a conference call or if you're in this area or Ross is out where you are, more or less present him an idea of what you think would be good and how you could set it up for him.
All right.
Basically that. Just.
All right. Now, I will be able to do this, Tom, anytime this next week, because I'll be going, after I leave New York, I'll be going to New Orleans.
Okay.
So I'm only, what, an hour from you.
Right. Okay, well, let's...
And it could be either spot that would be convenient with you people.
Fine. Well, I'll check with Ross's schedule. He lives on an airplane more than anybody I've ever seen. And sometime next week, if we could get together, and either, you know, we could even do it on a conference call as far as that goes. But I'll get in touch with you, and you can get in touch with me as far as where our schedule is going to be, and then we can just set up with Ross. And
good. Well, I'd prefer to do it in person if we could.
Fine. I think that'd be better, to you.
You know,
yeah.
Because I feel like we can discuss things and understand things.
Well, right. You have a very good way of presenting things. You know, you're so enthused that you sell it just like that by your enthusiasm, and I think that's good person-to-person type thing.
Well.
So.
Do you like this other idea that I've been discussing, though?
Well, you mean in Washington?
Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I think that's great. I really do. Now, you say pregame. This would be just pregame activities, right?
Right.
Oh, you know, I think that's outstanding.
And right now I'm thinking of using some military units, also a Negro choir from Xavier.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to have Pat O'Brien do the reading of America, which he does just so great. Oh, then I want to do the Liberty Bell and the Capitol and the Statue of Liberty and some of this type of thing, working in Give Me Your Tired, Your Poor, you know.
Yeah.
And then bring in the 50 state flags.
Uh-huh.
And then what I'd like to do, and this is something that I'd like to get somebody to buy 80,000 American flags and give out to everybody.
All right.
And when we hit this thing...
wouldn't that be something? Everybody waving flags?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And everybody in the country would be watching that thing.
Over 40 million people will be watching that game.
Holy crimey. I think that's fantastic. I really do. Well, you know, could you give a lot of thought to say, let's see, where is the Super Bowl going to be held?
In New Orleans.
New Orleans.
In the Sugar Bowl.
Could you give some thought to say what would be our problems if we entered that motorcade down there? Or does that just sound too far out?
Well, let me think about it. It's the oldest, let's see, the city is 250 years
yeah.
of age.
Yeah.
You've got something going for you.
Yeah. And, you know, the time factor is so far away, but, you know, if we had, say, 150 trucks, and we wouldn't even have to, you know, just at the same time, you know,
mm-hmm.
this would give a lot of emphasis.
Yeah, we might even do a real interesting gag and float them down the Mississippi River, have everybody meet at the Mississippi.
wouldn't that be something?
You know, have them meet from both coasts,
uh-huh.
Mississippi, then we board the great big old stern wheelers.
Oh, hey, that would be...
And then we have a whole convoy going right down the river.
Down the river. Hey, that's something.
Huh?
That really sounds great. It really does. Uh-huh.
Then CBS Radio says interviewed me today. This is this guy, Stuart.
You know, there's a lot of possibility there.
Uh-huh. That is. Now, let's go back. Say you do, say you originate this special with the SB and arrange to get the equipment from
mm-hmm.
them. They may not concede to let us handle that through equipment all the way to Washington.
I see.
Then that there's another contingent there that we would have to arrange to get equipment from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to cross that bridge before we get to our end of the deal as to what the SB would be willing to do.
Okay.
In the event that the equipment, let's say it would be permitted to go all the way through, we will move this special train round trip from New Orleans to Washington for a minimum amount of $26,884.86 minimum.
Okay, now, you're saying round trip.
Right.
In other words, from New Orleans to Washington back to New Orleans again?
Right.
Okay.
All
so
right.
Could I assume if we only went to Washington, we could get that half fare?
Sir, that we'd have to do a little more figuring.
Okay.
That is another feature. We'd have to come up with some more figures.
All righty.
All right, now let's go back, say, on a round-trip basis.
Okay.
For each sleeping car in each direction,
mm-hmm.
there will be a charge of $439.20.
Okay.
Now, of course, your layovers and everything... based on a $40 per day parking en route, would depend on the time involved.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it will also be contingent on the fact of how long you want to stay on the road between New Orleans and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of schedule we would be able to come up with
okay.
whenever you needed to know
right.
when you want to go.
Right.
And then, of course, that same $40 per day would also apply in Washington while you're there.
Okay.
Now, this is not a guaranteed figure.
Mm-hmm.
It is an estimate, and both parties, it is not binding on both parties.
Okay.
And just like I said, it would have to be, we would have to know about the equipment deal. And and go from there, in
mm-hmm.
other words, whether or not we would have to be permitted to take the original equipment all the way through,
mm-hmm.
that also might have a bearing on the price.
Mm-hmm. So
then another thing, there would have to be a guaranteed amount, a guaranteed, say, per person, per head, per capita,
mm-hmm.
As to... the dining car usage.
I see.
You would have to say, okay, I will definitely have 100 people that will eat six meals,
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah, I do.
So that has to be taken in consideration.
Okay, well, this looks pretty favorable. I figured it'd be a lot more than that.
But the point is, we need as much advance notice.
What are you talking about, lead time on notice?
Well, we'd like to have, let's right off the cuff, I'd say I'd like to have at least 7 days.
Okay.
In other words, then our management would have to find out on a day, on a given date, what time the SP coordinated schedule would be, when we would get it, and whether or not, and give us time to have the motive power and equipment and personnel available to move this. See, when you're doing business with the union, you got to give them some advance notice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with union
yeah.
personnel,
yeah.
And they can harpoon you before you know it.
Right, right.
So we have to have some advance notice, and I would say estimate at least a week.
Okay.
Right off the bat.
What unions would we be dealing with there?
Well, you'd be dealing with Brotherhood of Railway Trainmen, Brotherhood of Railway Locomotive Engineers, and then you'd have also the Brotherhood of Railway Conductors, then you'd have the Brotherhood of Railway Car Dining Car Stewards, and all that sort of.
Well, a lot of them there.
Oh, it's not as easy as taking a picture with an automatic eye camera, you know. I don't want to sound too involved, complicated, but...
U3-4, testing. Now that should be working a little better.
An interference?
Could. I don't know what that problem would be. We can try with the telephone here a second, too.
Mm-hmm.
Give a call and just see what we get from here.
Watch what you're saying, Diane. You are being recorded.
I am being recorded. I really watch it.
You know, it works good down here.
Even with the plug-in?
Well, we're I've got the plug on right now,
yeah.
But all apparent things make it seem to look like it's going to work good.
Hmm.
There's none of the hum. We tried it AC and with the battery, and
yeah.
Probably just could be where you are.
It could be. It could be that radio station.
Right, and I was thinking about once I get this smaller one fixed, maybe trying it, and maybe just a less sophisticated machine might be the answer.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be back with you, Hunter.
Okay.
I want to play this back to the world now.
Okay,
okay,
you do. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Republic Bank time, 7:20. Temperature, 33.
So it's recording now.
It's recording now.
I figure if you've been going to help me get as much, you know, coverage as I can.
Right. Well, you say it's a week from Saturday?
A week from Saturday.
Okay, when you get everything lined up, give us a call, and then we'll make some calls here.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
We really need all the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just about it.
Okay, real good. Thanks for calling, John.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Into Vietnam beginning in 1954.
Oh, I see.
And question.
Yes, Mr. Burgle. All right. Yes, I will. Okay. All right. Okay. Hello? All right. All right, fine. All right, fine. Thank you very much, sir. I will pass this to Mr. Holman, who is on his way to New York now, and someone will meet him this afternoon. Yes, sir. Yes. All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. Yes, I do. It's he'll be in at 3:15 this afternoon. TWA flight 903. Operations almost assured. Possibilities 80%. All right. Fine. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Of this caravel group always was. And of course, this is a picture of Holman. Here's another picture of him. Also, big men. Incidentally, according to General Duong Van Minh, I am the only American who ever visited him while he was in Bangkok. I said, "You mean to tell me that there has not been any other American to visit you since you have been away from your home in Vietnam?" He said, "You're the only one, Mr. Young."
But he's back in Vietnam now, isn't he?
Oh, yes, yes. Now, this group that I refer to is this group here. Of course, Mr. Van is dead now, but that's the original piece of paper given to me. To start on, haven't you?
Right. Now we're getting in. What you're saying here is that that you know South Vietnam like the palm of your hand, and why it is what it is today because of the people who are in power today, and how they got there, how they're staying there.
With 1 mile amendment, Mr. The President and Mr. Key are certainly the bane of
those
existence
who,
to the people that I
right.
am interested in.
Right. The predecessors
yes, sir.
To Key and, Mr. Tu. All right, from this, when did you leave there for the last time?
September 27th, 1966.
Have you kept
in touch? I am still in contact, yes.
And what areas? You know what we're trying to do.
Yes, sir. I did.
And that's the reason you're...
I think I know what you're trying to do.
That's the reason you are here today. You're interested, or you would not be here, and we're interested in what you have to say, or you would not be here. And we may as well... we don't question credentials. And thus far, I mean, I've seen enough to know that your background and the context. The big question is, do we get to North Vietnam through South Vietnam, And do you have information that can lead us there?
I think that through South Vietnam is one of the necessary steps. I would hesitate to make any recommendation to you and or to Mr. Perot that my plan could be done by merely a trip to South Vietnam. As a matter of fact, I will make a prediction that your efforts will be successfully accomplished in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong?
Yes, sir.
Why Hong Kong? Because of its closeness to Manila?
Because of its neutrality and its
melting pot.
Melting pot, yes, and status quo for everybody.
In other words, there are people in Hong Kong, not necessarily residents of Hong Kong, but are there by necessity.
Well, they have flights from Hanoi,
right,
coming in Hong Kong.
Do you think that?
Do they now? They don't have flights.
Oh yes.
Now,
oh yes.
I thought all flights were for that except the ICC now.
No. You have commercial flights into Hanoi.
Huh. I didn't realize that. I thought all commercial flights going in have been stopped to Hanoi.
I believe not.
No.
I tried to find out when I was over
I think I'm tempted to say Garuda flies there, but I think there's Thai International that has a one flight
airline,
a week.
All the world airlines, every commercial airlines in the world, to see which one is not. They have been canceled. They did at one time, but they all have been canceled. And the only real plane you can go in on now would be the ICC, which is more or less a standby basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I checked for us when we were over there. Mm-hmm. We'll see how we go ahead of route.
I don't know. I understood that there was one commercial flight still flying.
That is my understanding also.
Well, it's not
I don't know the line.
Well,
I don't know the line, but I understand there is one commercial flight.
Yeah.
Because at the time I was trying to go through Paris, through Juan Tui and Juan Wan to get permission to go to Hanoi, I was told that in addition to the ICC, there is another.
It used to be Royal Cambodian. They've canceled as of late 68, I think.
Yeah. That's one of them. One of them.
But
there's another one besides the Cambodia.
Could be. Yeah. I had the Pan Am people go through and check it all out.
Yeah.
But we played pretty well for the game.
How do you propose? What is necessary? And how long do you think it would take to accomplish?
I can
plan.
I could get you, I think, it's a very educated guess. We must remember we're dealing with people whose time means absolutely nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I could get you a very, very comprehensive answer within... I want to say 4 weeks, but I'll bend it every way I can and say within 3 weeks. Now, during this time, first of all, I would suggest that I by myself, or was happy to go with anybody if you would delegate, first of all, I'd like to visit the Chief of Police in Manila. Now, there's quite a few reasons for this. You have to bear with me. I'm not talking down to you, but I cannot explain to you the benefit of 25 years living with these people in the short time we have together. Now, we have people in Manila that are aware of the situation. The chief of police there is a man that I was responsible for getting him accepted to our FBI schools, so on and so forth. I'm the former chief of real estate for the United States government in the Philippines, and I was on a committee and I was one of the members of the board who selected people to take the advantage of several scholarships and things like this, you see. And so I chose this fellow. Today he's chief of police. Now I would like to check with Jerry, but with Jerry, you see, the position of chief of police in Manila happens to be a presidential appointment. So when you're talking to this
You're talking about Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, this man here, Colonel Bealeymore. This fellow right here was just decorated. Colonel Bealeymore was Marco's commanding officer in World War II. Colonel Bealeymore was General MacArthur's chief of intelligence for the Philippines. My very, very dear friend, and I have his address right here with me. It's on the other end of the telephone. And I would like to go to, I'd like to start in Manila. Talk to Chief of Police Gerardo Tamayo. Listen to what he has to say, and then I would like to bring in another man by the name of Jesus Rosas, who was the first Filipino to ever visit Red China. Now, the Rosas family is without a doubt one of the most prominent families of the Philippines. They own the newspapers, Manila Times, the biggest paper there, for example. And listen to what Mr. Rosas has to say. And then I would like to go to Saigon and to talk to my people there. Now, I would like to make a tentative arrangement with Mr. Phan Khoc Su. Mr. Su, to explain it to you gentlemen, is a combination Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. He is a revered patriarch of the Vietnamese people. He he's been imprisoned out of the past 25 years. He's been imprisoned at least 18 of the past 25 years. That picture I have right here, was here.
I saw it there a minute ago.
No?
It's over here.
Oh, you have it over there? This picture here, if you notice the date on it, I felt very honored. If you notice, he was taken to Grau Hospital in Saigon, and if, the picture doesn't show it too well, but what he's doing is he is hiding his hands there because his fingernails had been pulled out by command of President Zim and his brother Nhu and Madam Nhu. Mm-hmm. And he had just been released. When this picture was taken, there was 5,000 people out there in the grounds waiting to just for an appearance, I mean, to come out in the balcony and wave hello to him. And I felt very honored and it brought tears to my eyes because this old gentleman saw fit in my honor to get out of his hospital clothing and put on a pair of pants and a shirt and a necktie to come out to greet me. Now, that's the significance of that picture. Now, this man, as you know, is a former president of the Philippines.
Right.
I mean, of Vietnam. And he is a revered figure. He has, when everybody sees him, they bow, yet to this day, with the exception of Mr. Key and Mr. Chu, of course. But that's the significance of that picture. He was and is my very dear friend, and there's no question in my mind that Mr. Chu could play, Mr. Su could play a very, very important part in telling us exactly who to talk to and what they would might be interested in. However, he has learned through sad and bitter experience in dealing with Henry Cabot Lodge, the nemesis of the American people in Vietnam, that he can't expect much sympathetic support from the American people, which is tragic. I am not an admirer of Henry Cabot Lodge, and I think that the record shows why.
What do you think you could do in Hong Kong after consultation with the Chief of Police in the Philippines, or in Manila?
I think and I know that I can talk to certain people from the British side.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly would not hurt the picture. Now, I must admit...
Are these in official circles?
Yes, sir. These would be police officers of the Hong Kong Police Department.
Have you lived in Hong Kong?
I've never lived there. I've made quite a few trips there.
Travels there.
Yes.
Well, what's the bottom line you expect to get from Hong Kong? What would be the final product that you would get out of?
Substantiation and or perhaps an introduction of a new name. talk to. There'd be no point in going on a trip without covering all fields that was potential to provide a name.
Well, we seem to be talking about primarily southern sources now, rather than northern. I assume that some of these people you're talking about are contacts with the north.
Yes, they are. For example, Mr. Su, as I say, he represents Vietnam as a whole. Although he's from the South, why, he's acknowledged to be the spokesman for the entire Vietnamese people. There's Ho Chi Minh for the North. This man here even maintained friendship with Premier Ho. Now, we're overlooking another man here, too, and that's a former foreign minister of Vietnam, Dr. Tran Van Do, who resigned, if you remember. Now, there is a new name entering into the picture who very well might be the next president of South Vietnam, and that's the leader of the Southern Bloc there and the Chamber of Deputies. And he very well could be the next president of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. You're making a point there, which is an excellent point, and I'd like to indicate to you that I'm aware of what the point is, and that is you're trying to find out what the background would be with anybody from North Vietnam.
Yes, how we can get complete a mission in North Vietnam. Contact with, into the prison camps, deliver merchandise to the prison camps, get a readout on exactly what exists in those prison camps, who they hold, and what condition they're in.
Well, that wouldn't have to be done, though there's been some Frenchmen through there who tell you what the picture is on that. And they would have to be contacted through Hong Kong. I think I gave you the name of the man whose name I got from Salisbury.
Yeah, probably the J.
Carnell or Carnell. Mm. Carnell.
Carnell.
Yes. And
you talked to Salisbury?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Were you over there then?
No, I talked to him just the other night in New York. I called him in New York because I wanted to get all my facts and things together.
Uh-huh.
Because I was, frankly, and I was quite perturbed by a statement that Mr. Perot made at the press conference in Columbus. He was quite enthusiastic about the efforts of this Catholic priest there in Laos. This is a kiss of death. That's a flat statement from me.
For the priest or for our mission, or both?
For your mission. Mr. Perot made the statement. He said this man had a fantastic amount of money on his head. Well, that obviously cannot be, because if they wanted to kill him peddling a bicycle around Laos, why, they sure as hell could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily. Now, this same situation existed in South Vietnam with Father Diego. The whole picture over there, the entire picture, and I, to this day, cannot understand why it isn't acknowledged. The world will never see the time that 1.5 million Catholics can force their religion down the throats of 16.5 million Buddhists. You know, it's just that simple. They've been trying to do it for years, and they're not going to do it, in my opinion.
Why did you leave Vietnam?
Why did I leave Vietnam? Because I had two cars miss me about that far. They were police cars. I was talking too much the situation there. I got the message. They had just killed a newsman there just a few days before.
When did you leave?
September. I just gave you the date there.
Yeah,
September 66.
You've been there how many years?
Since 54. I lived there.
Yes, sir.
From 56 until 60 with my wife.
Let me go back over the periods here then as far as what we're concerned with. Now, Hong Kong, you say that what we could probably expect out of there after a visit to Manila would be some names in Hong Kong. From the British, do you have other, say, Chinese or other contacts, or would they lead you to this? In other words, it's a matter of just getting groundwork. Is that correct?
Yes, we would have a group of names, and we'd have to call that list and choose.
Okay. Can you give me an example of a name, not person, but say a position, that who you would be thinking of? Some guy in North Vietnam or South Vietnam who would have the power to give us permission to go in, would have the power to take, so we say, a bribe to subtly let us get in there? What's your thinking on this?
My thinking is that I would like to talk to my friend of many years standing, who is an inspector,
mm-hmm.
and that's this is his function. He's in the intelligence side mm-hmm. of the Hong Kong Police Department, an Englishman, and who aided and assisted me when I secured the release of those five Americans from Macau.
Mm-hmm.
So the man is keenly aware of the entire picture around it.
Mm-hmm.
And Macau, in my opinion, is a hell of a lot worse than North Vietnam, if such a thing is possible.
Let me ask what may be a very stupid question. If you have this capability, and I don't doubt that you have it, but if you have this capability, why has not someone else approached you, maybe even a government source, to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish? It's not new what we're trying to accomplish. It's the only thing new about it is, I suppose, is the fact somebody outside of government is trying to do it.
Opposition from Henry Cabot Lodge.
Hmm.
Mr. Lodge has been gone now from Vietnam for a year. Did he still have control over those who would, say, turn to Mr. Gunder?
He still has control over the CIA boys there in Saigon. And as long as his boys are in control there, he came there with his own group. He ignored the career Foreign Service people who don't dare open their mouths. And he just ignored them. I've got the list of the group that he brought there with him. And he just ignored him. And the old saying about the Cabot speak to Lodges and Lodges speak to God, or I might have it backwards, is very true, very true. You could not get to see this man. Could not get to see him.
You couldn't get to see Lodge?
No. Nobody can get to see Mr. Lodge. Nobody. When Mr. Sue was president of the country, he couldn't get the same. So I heard about it, and I said, Mr. Sue, I said, that isn't right. I said, this man is the ambassador to the United States. And I said, so you tell that young man that you'll be very happy to receive the ambassador at any time. And so I went back, and I said, to begin with, it all started from a request from Mr. Sue to see Henry Cabot Lodge. But Mr. Sue did not want the rest of the Vietnamese to know about it. He wanted to set up a clandestine appointment. So I went down and told the proper people at the American Embassy.
Steve Letigar?
Nope.
Philip Habib?
No. And they said, oh, we wouldn't be interested in anything like that, Frank. Is the word given back to me. That's fine, except the next day, why, the ambassador sent his bright young man up to see Mr. Sue, and Mr. Sue was up at the lot at the summer White House up there the very next day. So I went back to see my man. I said, I know that Mr. Lodge was not interested in seeing Mr. Sue, except why in the hell was it that he sent so-and-so up there to see him yesterday? He said, Frank, you're driving me out of my skull. He says, what the hell do you expect me to say? You know the answer as well as I do. So that's it. I am not an admirer of Henry Cabot Lodge.
Well, if his men are still in control there, how could you succeed now any more than you could have succeeded a year ago or 6 months ago?
Why, I would have nothing to do with the American Embassy. Absolutely nothing to do with it. And I am on record, so you're very, you can quote me to anybody. My former commanding officer is the chief of a division of CIA today. His name is Kenneth C. Fuller. Papers. I got here. I'll give you his telephone number.
Well, what we're down to, what we're back to. Do you have any questions in your mind? What you're thinking about will succeed? Are we just playing a hunch that you think might succeed and might get information?
When I called this number here the other day out of my own volition, and I paid for the telephone call, and I talked to Mr. Holman.
No, I'm Tom Muir.
Yeah.
I talked to Mr. Holman first,
yeah.
And I said what I had to say to him. I said, I know how to do this. Mm-hmm. Now, you go there with your hat in your hand, and regardless of how right you are, you don't say it. You don't point up the inefficiency of any statements that these people make. You just don't do this. You sit there and you take it. And you sit there and you do not cross your legs like this, which cost me $131,000 here a couple of years ago in Bangkok. You don't cross your feet and expose the bottom of your feet. You don't have a young man. You have a man with white hair. You have a big man, if you can. All these things help, you see. And who knows you? Why are you there to see this person? Who sent you? Are they their friends or not? See? And this goes back for generations. Now, it's a question of digging out the proper people. Who knows the proper people? Who in the hell the North Vietnamese man is in Hong Kong today, I haven't the slightest idea. And it's going to take some digging to find him out.
Now, when you say these things that you don't do, or you talk about you don't do to the North Vietnamese,
you don't do to any Oriental instinctively. That's what he thinks of. And in the second, you certainly don't do it to the North Vietnamese because they've had very little exposure to
then
Western
why,
culture.
How do you explain then the success of Rennie Davis, David Dellinger, William Kunstler, who contradict all of these appearances and so forth mm-hmm. that you mentioned, yet they're the only ones to come out with any lists, who seem to have an open entree to Hanoi, can go and come as they see fit.
Well, how about these people? What is their background? Doesn't that fit into the overall pattern? To disparage the efforts of the worthwhile people, the people who are loyal Americans. Mm-hmm. These gentlemen you mentioned,